promo. Well, more of that later, but now it's 1 o'clock and time for the latest BBC News from Katrina Young.
The BBC understands that the two servicemen who died during an army training exercise in the Brecon Beacons were taking part in the selection process for the SAS reserves. In all, 6 soldiers collapsed on Saturday, the hottest day in Wales this year. One remains in a serious condition in hospital. An independent review of care for terminally ill patients in England has found that it was too often a tick box exercise where patients were heartbreakingly denied food and water. The government is scrapping the so-called Liverpool care pathway and establishing a new system of care for people nearing the end of their lives. Ministers have insisted that limiting welfare payments to £26,000 a year per household isn't about punishing people, but encouraging them to find work. The measure's being introduced across Britain from today. Critics say it'll hit poorer families hardest. The American Deputy Secretary of State William Burns is in Cairo to hold talks with Egypt's new military-backed government. The 2-day visit is the first to the country by a senior US official since the army ousted President Morsi earlier this month. The authorities in northern India have announced that more than 5,700 people still missing after devastating floods last month are now presumed dead. They'll begin distributing financial help to the families of victims, many of them Hindu pilgrims. A British woman has died while attempting to swim the English Channel for charity. She's been named as Susan Taylor, who was in her 30s. It's understood she got into difficulty near Boulogne yesterday evening. A university in Thailand has apologised for displaying a graduation banner that showed Adolf Hitler alongside Superman and other comic book superheroes. Officials said it was painted by ignorant students who didn't realise that the image would cause offence. And the weather, another warm and sunny day for England and Wales, although cloudier with some drizzle in Scotland. Top temperatures 27 Celsius in central England, 16 in northern Scotland. And that's the BBC News and weather. Now on Radio 3, it's time for Proms Chamber Music, presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall, the BBC Proms' intimate second home. Over the next 8 weeks, we intend to explore chamber music in its broadest possible range. Our journey will include some of our finest singers performing Warlock, Britten and Dowland. We welcome to this wonderful hall an all-female brass ensemble. We'll hear Renaissance Polish music and a string quartet by one of our most alluring and neglected 20th century British composers. We start with the young Norwegian violinist Vilde Frang and her regular musical partner Michael Liffitz, who will perform the Partita by centenary composer Witold Lutosławski and a sonata from the last decade of Mozart's life. First, Ravel's Sonata in G, in which the composer announced he wanted to show off the essential incompatibility of the two instruments. "I am contrasting violin and piano," he proclaimed, "not making them cooperate." Well, it was his last chamber work. It took him 4 difficult years to write it. At one point, a student found him leaning over the grate where he'd just burnt the original version of the finale. The popular style of jazz music that had taken Paris by storm when he was writing this inspired the second movement, the elegant blues, which begins with an evocation of the sound of the banjo being strummed. Then the piece finishes with the movement that Ravel said illustrates my changing mood, a move away from what he described as the luxury of impressionism towards the rather darker side of 1920s Paris. To play Ravel's Concerto in G for violin and piano, please welcome to the stage Vilde Frang and Michael Liffitz.
Thank you. Thank you.
Vilda Frang and Mikhail Lifitz playing Ravel's G major sonata for violin and piano in this, the first of our 2013 BBC Proms Cadogan Hall Chamber Music Concerts. Well, for the first time, we're filming these concerts. They'll be available to watch at the BBC Proms website, bbc.co.uk/proms, from 12 midday tomorrow. This marks Vilda's Proms debut. She will be back later in the season. She'll be playing Brooks' First Violin Concerto with the BBC Philharmonic and John Storgård's on August the 6th. Her father is a double bass player. Her sister started studying the bass, and when Vilda saw her playing in a youth orchestra, she assumed that the bass would be her instrument as well, until her father told her, "We have one very small car." He gave her a cardboard violin, and a year later it was swapped for a real instrument. Well, Vilda and Mikhail are going to play Mozart next, his sonata K379, written in one of his last months of service to the Archbishop of Salzburg, composed for one of the many entertainments held to celebrate the accession of Emperor Joseph II. Mozart played it with Antonio Brunetti, leader of the court orchestra. In a letter to his father, Mozart said it came about so quickly he managed to write out the violin part, or violin accompaniment as he called it, but had to retain the piano part in his head. It's in two movements, Mozart's G major sonata, K379. Welcome back, Vilda Frang and Mikhail Lifitz.
Thank you.
Mozart's Sonata K379, played by Wilde Frang and Michael Liftis. Well, Mikhail comes from Tashkent in Uzbekistan and studied in Hanover. His debut CD of Mozart's sonatas and rondos was released last year on the Decca record label. To finish their concert today, Wilde and Mikhail are going to continue the celebrations marking the centenary of the Polish composer Witold Lutosławski. Polish music, a thread that runs right the way through this year's Proms season. Stephen Huff started it, playing the Paganini variations on the first night of the Proms, a work that has its roots in Warsaw in the Second World War. Next month, an even earlier work by Lutosławski, his symphonic variations that were started in 1936. But today we look at the other end of his life, a piece from the 1980s, his Partita, which was originally planned as a double concerto commissioned by the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra for its then music director Pinkas Zukerman and his duo partner Mark Nykrug. Time constraints meant that the concerto wasn't written and they settled for a chamber piece instead. The title and the names of the three principal sections, Allegro, Largo and Presto, might rather suggest the Baroque, but there are two further movements that make extra demands on the players. Let's welcome back to the platform Wilde Frang and Mikhail Liftis. Tell us, Wilde, a little bit about these two extra movements.
Well, there are actually three extra movements which are composed without bars, so it leaves us very free to interpretate it how we feel like and how we want it. It gives you a lot of freedom, and yet you are terrified when you start studying the piece because the score looks terrifying, you know. So for me, it was quite a daunting piece to start studying some years ago, but my mentor, Anne Sophie Mutter, who world premiered the piece with the orchestra.
Because it was eventually written into a concertante piece.
That's right. It was actually written into just like Ravel Tzigane also. It was written for violin and piano, and then later the composer did an arrangement for violin and orchestra. So anyway, Mrs. Mutter was very much urging me to start working on this piece, and I loved Lutoslawski's Concerto for Orchestra, which has a far more framed structure. So anyway, I learned incredibly much by looking at the score and just studying the orchestra score, actually, while I was studying it, and it gave me, you know, it was an incredible discovery, because you get to know another dimension of expression and feelings. And
I think Lutoslawski played the work with Anne-Sophie Mutter. He was a violinist as well as a pianist. Does that mean that there's a kind of fine balance between the two instruments in the piece?
Definitely. He played the middle moments on the piano. And I think probably playing with a composer it must be a terrifying experience, but I'm very privileged to play it with Misha, I have to say. So.
Well, it's wonderful to have you both here today. Wilda and Mikkel, let us hear Lutoslawski's Partita. Lutosławski's Partita, played here at Cadogan Hall by Wilde Frang and Mikhail Lifitz. Written in 1985 for Pinchas Zuckerman. Continuing this Proms Lutosławski centenary theme, much more of his music to feature in the season ahead. Wilde Frang and Mikhail Lifitz back on the platform. Wilde currently on a tour of the great European festivals this summer, as well as the Proms. She appears at the Kuomo Festival in Finland, the Gestadt and Verbier Festivals in Switzerland, and at the Kaposvár Festival in Hungary. She and Mikhail perform later in the year in New York, Geneva, Rotterdam, and they'll be back here in the UK performing at LSO St. Luke's. Back on stage again. And Mikhail is sitting down at the piano.
Estrelita, my little star.
Jascha Heifetz's arrangement of Estrelita, Little Star by Manuel Ponce, played by Wilde Frang and Mikhail Lifitz. Bringing us to the end of this first Proms chamber music concert live from Cadogan Hall in London. Back here again next Monday lunchtime. Do join us then. For now, very good afternoon to you.
Petroc Trelawney. And next week, the Wellgas Ensemble will be conducted by Paul van Nevel in choral music from 15th and 16th century Poland. Next Monday, just after one. Well, this is Afternoon on Three on BBC Radio 3 with me, Penny Gore. And over the next 6 weeks or so, there'll be chance in the afternoons to catch up with the proms, beginning today with Friday's opening night. And waiting to introduce this first prom of 2013 was Petroc Trelawney.
The words are so good, I'm going to say them again. Welcome to the Royal Albert Hall. Welcome to the first night of the biggest, best attended, most varied, most exuberant classical music festival in the world. The Prommers have packed the arena as we prepare to begin this annual summer journey. In front of them, under the familiar deep red canopy, that ensemble that is such a mainstay of the season, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, led by its new chief conductor, Zachary Oramo. Well, in fact, more than 500 people are going to perform for us tonight. Later, the BBC Symphony Chorus and the BBC Proms Youth Choir, young singers drawn from across the UK, will be joined by soprano Sally Matthews and baritone Roderick Williams in Ralph Vaughan Williams' A Sea Symphony. Stephen Hough takes to the stage in part one with two works inspired by the devilishly virtuosic violinist Paganini, variations on a theme by Rachmaninoff and then Lutosławski. And to begin, the first of the 18 world premieres that we'll hear over the next 8 weeks, Harmony, a short work by one of the finest British composers of today, Julian Anderson. It's for orchestra and the BBC Symphony Chorus. There are, Julian told me earlier, two approaches to a concert opener: loud fanfare or calm and meditative. He's gone for the latter.
Words come from a 19th century nature mystic author called Richard Jefferies, and really they're about a vision he had on the Wiltshire Downs of time and eternity. Time seemed to him to stand still, and it's about that. The Proms audience is very famous for keeping still, and this piece is a celebration of the acoustic and a celebration of that audience's wonderful ability to listen.
Those lines from Richard Jefferies, including "the clock may make time for itself, there is none for me. The shadow moves round upon the clock. What is the difference? None whatever."